when I speak about this, because I know there are many who are much better at this than I. But at the end of it, it's something that we all have to do. And it sounds like a strong word, but that's a reality. That's what Jesus told us to do. So, yeah, when you hear me speak, don't feel like, if some of the words are a little strong, know that they're bouncing right back and heading towards me. So,
is it too
loud? I'm happy with that.
Okay.
As long as everybody can hear me. So don't feel any of the words are too. If anything sounds harsh, know that it's just as harsh for me because I'm under this word as well. If you like, because I need to straighten my walk and strengthen my walk in this area as well. So sharing Jesus. It is two things, isn't it? Sometimes there is the joy, but there's also, I think, many of us are afflicted by a fear around it. Otherwise, our churches would be brimming full of people. Something's stopping us. So let's have a look and see what we're up against. We had that verse read so well earlier on. And we know it so well. And it's always a fear when you start reading verses that you're very familiar with. This is the Great Commission. We just read over it. But in there, we're looking at verses 19. And it says very clearly, this is Jesus. Now, remember when Jesus was actually saying this. When was he saying this? These were his last words. And the last words of somebody are very significant. And if we look in Acts 1:8, which was his next last words when he came back and went again, he said nearly the same thing. He said, go. Go and do this. So these are his last words. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's very clear. And that's not, I don't feel I'm gifted as an evangelist. I don't think those words are for me. No, he was speaking to everybody when he said those words. So it is all of us. Those words are for all of us. It's tough, but that's what we've been asked to do. And we struggle with it. I know I struggle with it. Some people are gifted in that area. I know they are, but none of us, that is not a specific gifting that they're talking about. That is a call to all people who believe and follow Jesus to do what he's asked us to do. But even in those words, when we look, you look up there in the red, even at that stage, but some doubted. You know, there was people right then who were struggling just like you and I. So don't feel like you're alone. There are people seeing the risen Jesus, and they were still struggling with this. So this was still a struggle at that time. So what did Jesus actually say if we read it all together? Because if we look, there is a sandwich around the verse. So what we've been commanded to do, there is a sandwich that sits around that. And it's what Jesus says he is and he is going to do. Because at the end of the day, if you share with somebody and you convert somebody, what do we know about that person? They're not converted. We don't convert anybody. We can't do it. It's not us. We can't convert anybody. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, brings a person to, and they make a decision to follow Jesus, not us. So, yes, we're told to go out and make disciples and do these things, but we do not do that in our own power. We have to God the space. So what does Jesus say? He says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So then he followed up with the words that he's asked us to do. But he first said that he had all authority and power. Everything had been given to him. Now look down the bottom. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now is it the end of the age at the moment? Sometimes it feels like it. But it is not the end of the age. So if it is not the end, where's Jesus? He's with us. He is with us with what? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. So when you speak to somebody, there's a third person there with you every time. So you're not going in your own power. He said, I am with you always. So when you speak to that person, no, Jesus is here. No, Jesus is here. He has all authority in heaven and earth. That's who is working with you when you actually speak to somebody and when you actually share about him. He's here. He said he will be here. He's going to be right there with you. So I don't know if that makes it any easier, but sometimes we say too much and we need to listen more when we're actually talking to people. We need to let Jesus get into the conversation. We need to let the Holy Spirit work in the person's heart, and we need to stop talking. I'm a person who talks too much, so I have to learn that very heavily. I still haven't even almost had a clothes peg to stick on my lips because I need Jesus to work in the person's heart that I'm talking to. So that's the command. So that's where we sit with this sharing Jesus thing. We don't have lots of choice. That may make us feel a little bit uncomfortable, but Jesus said, I'm not leaving you on your own. I'm with you. So I'm there to support you. But then have a look. We heard the parables of the lost sheep and the coin being shared with us earlier. This is the result in heaven when somebody makes a choice. It's rejoicing. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. There will be more joy in heaven over this one sinner that repents than over the 99. There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Just think, when you have that conversation, now look, who knows where the conversation's going, how far you'll get down the track with this person, which we know very well with some people it might take 10 or 20 touches or 50 years to actually for a decision to be made. But right when you're speaking to that person and you're sharing Jesus, this is starting to happen. As a young English guy shared with me, his vision of this, he loves his cricket, but he had a vision of being like at the 2020 cricket, you know, the big bash. And you know, the guy's standing up at the crease and he gets the ball and he smashes it over the fence for a six. And the whole crowd erupting and just going crazy. And then he hits another one for six and the whole crowd erupts again. That sort of rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. It's just total joy. And we don't know that, but there will be a time when we will know that and be part of that. But that is our call. So know that sometimes it can just feel hard, it can feel scary, it can feel many things, but that is the trigger. You're just starting that conversation. The angels are getting excited to know what's going to happen next. You know, they are waiting for that person to give their life. So that's where we sit. So there is real joy. And for those of you who have been part of those conversations with people where they have started to, you can just almost feel them starting to, the Holy Spirit trying to work with them. The excitement, you feel your own heart starting to go, it's going to happen. You can sense that somebody is, they're so interested. They've got the joy. I was with we're in a taxi with another Gideon. We went to church service at National Convention. And this young guy coming back from the taxi in Ghana was sitting in the front seat talking to him and telling him a few stories. And he said, oh, yeah. And he asked him, oh, you know, what do you believe? And he said, oh, I'm a Catholic, but I'm a long way. I'm very distant from that, was the words he used. And he Ghana started to share a little bit of stuff with him. And this guy's got him, I want that. He said, I want to know that I'm going to heaven 100%. I want to know that. And I could just feel my heart rate starting. I'm sitting in the back seat just praying, going, just keep this. And this young guy, he ended up making him his life to Christ in a taxi as he drove the taxi for it, because he wanted that so much. He wanted that assurance of salvation. And he prayed the prayer in the taxi as he's driving us down the freeway. That's exciting. That's just a little taste. And you think of the angels, but the angels are even more excited about that than we are. So there is joy in this. So I'm going to say, what's stopping us? I mean, what is stopping us? I've just left something on my seat. I mean, the fear, it has to be a fear, because if there wasn't something, there's got to be fear of something that's stopping us. I mean, I don't know. This is from the Open Doors ministry. I mean, what sort of fear could it be? Could we be in Iraq where IS is taking control of the many areas where Christians live to continue to pray for all those who have been displaced? Is that our fear? Is it in the Arabian Peninsula where recently a Saudi top Muslim cleric has called for the destruction of all churches in the Arabian Peninsula? Is it a fear that in Mauritania that now all the schools, the Quranic is mandatory for Quranic teaching? is it like in Cameroon where Sharifa Kesveri and her children are being prayed for as they continue to rebuild their lives after she was kidnapped and her husband was killed? I don't know, the list goes on. Is that the sort of fear that we're under? Is it in Vietnam where, you know, some of the, it said many local officials think it's a badge of honour to say there are no Christians in their village. So we're praying for the Lord's protection over those villages and for change of heart in those leaders. Is that our fear? I don't think it is. We don't know persecution in this country. So what is stopping us? What are we afraid of? What am I afraid of? Why am I not every day sharing Jesus with people? Because I don't think any of that applies to us. Yet people in those countries are actively and working, and the church is exploding. We look to India, we look to China, we look into Africa, we look into where the church is exploding. Yet they are under real fear. So what are we afraid of? So fear of rejection, possibly. Yeah, I guess that is something we're conscious of. You know, we're going to be rejected. But remember, when you're rejected, what's actually happening if somebody rejects you? Say you offer them a copy of God's word, or you offer them a word. What's being rejected? Who's being rejected? Jesus, not us. Sure, it feels a little awkward, but they're not actually rejecting you. You know, I don't know enough. I heard it very succinctly put in a church service the other day. If you know how you got saved, you know enough. Isn't that the truth? If you know and confident about your own salvation, you know enough to be able to share that with somebody else. I mean, look through all through Acts and all through Paul's letters. There were people he barely spent any time with, and he had to say, right, you're on your own, I've got to go. And they somehow built a church. They didn't have a theological school, but they knew how they got saved. And they knew what that meant. So they shared it. What if people get offended? That's rarely my experience in this country. I just don't think that really happens to anything, unless you're really sort of preaching down somebody's throat. But that's where I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how perhaps to phrase this so that we don't give offence. But it's unlikely. I'm uncomfortable sharing at work. Now, sometimes at work it is tough. I won't say that, because certain workplaces, it's probably not appropriate. They have very strict HR rules. You're probably better, if you want to share, to take somebody out to lunch or do something. Be respectful of where you are. But if somebody's interested, you can still go and have lunch with them, or have a, you know, go and see them after work or other things. There's still ways to do that and still be respectful of where you are. I'm afraid it's like my life isn't what it ought to be. Well, I think Brother Prasad sorted that one right out. We're all sinners. So, you know, none of us have got, and if we're ever going to do that, we will never get to the point where we'll ever share our lives, because we're never going to be good enough. So can we just give up on that and say, Lord, you need to deal with that and move on? Because we're never going, now, if there's clear sin in your life, that's different. But other things, we have to accept that we're sinners, and we're talking to sinners, so we're all in this together. What if I'm ridiculed and persecuted for sharing? Look, it's unlikely. It might happen. Unlikely in this country. Having done a lot of it out on the street, it's not really ever happened to any degree to the Gideons and things, so I don't think it's likely. But okay, what's more important? You know, where is our heart? Where is our passion? I'm not good at evangelism. Well, that's what I just told you when I started. I'm not good at evangelism, okay? But that must not stop me. Because remember who's actually doing, if you will, the word. I don't particularly like the word converting, but converting. Who's doing it? God is doing that. The Holy Spirit is doing that. We are not doing that. You don't have to be good at evangelism. You just have to be there. And you actually have to do what God asks you to do, and somehow God will get you through, because it's His game, not ours. I'm going to share you a little video clip here. I hope it works. This is an atheist's view of proselytizing. I'm going to try and crank that up a little bit, if possible. Oh.
I'll just go back one. We might see if we can quickly click it on. We'll do it, otherwise I'll play it at the end. Sorry. Should I try that again?
Yeah. And I've always said, I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I'm attacking you. And this is more important than that. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave me that book. That's all I want to say.
Some of you may recognize him. That's Penn and Teller. He's the magician in Las Vegas. Definitely an atheist, unapologetically an atheist. That little blurb got going was a Gideon actually gave him a Bible after his show. However, listen to what he said, and that's very uncomfortable, isn't it? How much do you have to hate somebody not to tell them? It's like, well, we're going to heaven. Out there, people we meet, do we love them enough to tell them about this eternal life thing that's available to them? It's really uncomfortable. Even an atheist is saying, you know, I struggle with the word hate, but you know, maybe it's not that far away from the truth. You know, do I really care about my friends, my family, my work colleagues, people I meet in the relationships that I go, the people just down my street and the neighbours? Do I really care enough to share what I've been given? It was a gift given to me. I didn't earn it. Am I going to give this gift to somebody else and say this gift's available for them too? Well, my hairy friend there, he sort of got, you know, he got it. If you want to see the full clip of that, go to Ben Penn Gets a Bible. There's a bit more to it. But that's where we sit, I think, in terms of us sort of when we get our feet rooted down to the concrete, we don't actually walk and share. So a little bit of this I am going to share with you now is perhaps a way that you could look. There's many great ways of sharing the gospel, and you've probably heard of many different ways. There's the way of the master, there's walk across the room. This is one called Share Jesus Without Fear. There's various ways that we can actually share our faith. And I'm sort of using quite a lot of Bill Fay's content. I've actually given the DVD set to Pastor Timothy as well, so the church would like to see more of this. But what I like about this approach, and I put some of my own sort of spin on it as well, is it's very gentle. You don't have to be a theological giant to drive this. You've just got to know how to listen. And it's about listening and letting God speak more than being very clever at being able to tell people stuff. It's getting, as Bill Fay, it's getting out of the way of the Holy Spirit is the key thing. So let the Holy Spirit do the work. Let God do his work in the person when you're talking to them. Don't say too much is the key elements. We want to know about them. So let's have a little look. I do have, actually what I'll do is I'll pass these around.
Save everybody
having to scribble everything down. Some of the key points are on this little page so that you've got something perhaps to reflect on. But let's start talking about it. So developing that heart to share Jesus. So, you know, even Peter denied Jesus 3 times and Jesus dealt with him and said, you've got to love my flock, love my sheep, you know. So, but is it a sin of silence when we don't speak about it? Well, Penn, our atheist, certainly felt it was. And we've read that verse that says that we should go and make disciples. And that wasn't whether we would like to or not, it's whether we should. Now, just bearing in mind, sometimes, I'm not very good at this, I failed, I did this, I did that. Success in sharing Jesus is not converting somebody. Success is being available to God to do what he needs you to do. You know, and if he needs you to share a word with somebody, or say a word, or help, or just be there as a good neighbour to build relation, whatever God needs you to do. So certainly to be a good witness in your own right, you know, to be living in a good way so that you do shine some light, that is obviously very relevant. But to share that gospel in whichever way, and it may be little bits and pieces. It may be as simple as a conversation when somebody asks you what you're doing on the weekend, telling them that you're going to church and that you enjoy it, and then looking for the conversation that will flow out of that. Don't, oh yeah, but a few things on. No, tell them you're going to church. Oh, I'm going to this Christian prayer meeting. Let them know that you're a follower of Jesus. I think the followers of Jesus in the Australian community are a hidden lot a lot of the time. You know, we don't, who are they? You could be working next to a Christian, you wouldn't know it in many cases. I've had that happen to me. We've both gone, oh, so you're a believer. And then it was a great conversation, but gee, where did that come from? So let drop the bait out. Just see. I mean, I do it with my co-workers. If they ask where I've been, and I've been to an event, sometimes I've been to an event and I've got, you know, I've been to some big conference thing and I've got some video. I'll say, oh, check this out. And they will get a view because there's, you know, some of the big conferences go, they've got the whole rock and roll thing going on. And they go, well, that's a church. It's like, yeah, that's a church. It's like, wow. You know, put the bait out. Share who you are. Don't be abashed. Don't be a hidden Christian. And trust God for the results. And not really put up on the screen here, but you know the big secret? We all do, don't we? Prayer. All the time praying. Praying that this will happen. Each day, pray that this will happen. Pray that the openings will occur. So trust Him for the results. So success is not bringing someone to Christ. That's God's job. Ours is to be there and to do what God wants us to do in that situation, but to make ourselves available and to be intentional and to have prayed about it so that it actually, it's a whole lot more likely to happen if we prayed about it. If you go out each morning and pray, I want you to bring somebody across my path, Lord, I want to share with somebody today, dangerous prayer to pray. He'll probably do it. If you've got your eyes open, He will do it. He will bring somebody across your path. So trusting God for the results, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Let Christ deliver on this. You know what? People love talking about this stuff, spiritual stuff. Even the atheists like talking about it. They love to tell us that God doesn't exist. That's still belief. You ask a Muslim what they believe, you'll be told. A Hindu, a Buddhist, a spiritualist, a crystal person, whatever. You will get, why is that? Because we're made in the image of God. So inevitably, everybody on this planet is made in the image of God. It's in their DNA. There's a little bit of something missing there that's saying, I'm questing spiritual stuff whether I like it or not. Whether I'm an atheist that's pushing really hard against it, or whether I've found it in a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist or a whatever, or I'm a lapsed Christian of some description, there's still a spiritual yearning in there. You tap this, at some point people will want to open up and chat to you. It is quite near the surface with most people. If you've prayed and God's got involved, it's very close to the surface. I am so surprised so many times when, oh, I've actually been thinking about this, is a common response. So how can we do it? So essentially the idea of learning to share Jesus, and I'm going to move through fairly quickly because our time is fairly tight today, but questions, I'm really going to focus on the questions today. Then there are some verses, and a little awe of God, a couple of things He's just done with those verses. And then there's the questions that we do, and so letting the Bible speak. And then there certainly are the questions that if we get the opportunity to ask that person, you know, to confirm that their decision is, you know, they understand what their decision that they're making. So let's start talking about five questions. And what we're trying to do is find out where God is working. And this is a time where we ask a question and we just don't say anything. We let the person talk. Maybe and agree with them, no matter what they're saying. What we want them to do is talk and share so we know where they're at. So, first question. Do you have any kinds of spiritual belief? You can phrase that however you like. I'm going to 10-second pause to think how you would respond to that in your own minds. Somebody asked you, have you got any? I don't know, somehow it's come up, it's relevant. Sometimes for me, I've just given them often a little Bible. Oh, what's this about? Oh, it's...
Now, what is this about? If I was giving this to a person who doesn't know probably anything about the Christian faith, what is this about? If somebody asked me, I've just offered them a testament, what can I say? One of our guys here gave a classic answer. He just said, it's a book about God's love. And that's what he said. That's now my new line, because that's a great answer. That's what it is about. So, but then, very simple to roll from there into, do you have any beliefs yourself? Now, most people believe something. I don't believe in God. That's a belief. They spend a lot of life believing that God doesn't exist. Okay, so how's that work? All I want them to do is talk. I want them to tell me where they're at. And I don't want to talk too much because I want the Holy Spirit. I'm praying in the back of my head as fast as I can now. Because now the Holy Spirit can start working on this person. Well, what do I believe? So, a nice question. A really easy question to ask a lot of people. So, not a scary place to start. So this is where, are we afraid of that question? I think there's a lot of people, you could get to that space where you could just say, do you have any belief? You've just said you go to church on Sunday, and they go, oh, yeah, what's that about? Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, Jeff, it would be kind of natural at that point to go, do you have any beliefs yourself? Let them talk. No judgment. I'm not doing the big woo. I'm not looking. I just want to know. This is a conversation. I just want to know. I'm interested, which I am. I'm really, really interested. So is the Holy Spirit. So I really want to know the answer to this question. So there's one. Now, if they want to say, some people will take 20 seconds to answer that. Some people will take half an hour to answer that because they've got a lot to tell you, especially atheists, about why God doesn't exist. That's okay. I'm listening. You might have to put your appointment book aside because you may be here for a while. The next question probably is to say, so in all that, who's Jesus then in that? Now, to an atheist, that's total rubbish, or look, he was a good teacher, or whatever. To a Hindu, he's one of the gods that people believe in. For Christians, listen carefully. Think about it yourself. Who is Jesus to you? You will sometimes hear, he is the Son of God. He is this, he is that. That's very third person. If somebody says, he is my saviour, he saved the world for me, now I know that person's probably more in relation. So you might have bumped into a full-on believing Christian in front of you, so that's okay. We're going to have a lovely chat. That's okay. I've bumped into a lot of Christians who are asking these questions, which is great. But if they're doing the he is this, he is that stuff they learnt at Sunday school, I'm not sure Jesus is in here. So just listen to the language when you hear the answer. Again, no judgment. I'm just interested. But where are they with Jesus? Is Jesus out there as something they learnt about? Or is Jesus in here? Don't get into a theological argument about this. Even that atheist who's baiting you, looking in for the go. No, really? Okay, well, what's that about? Just throw another question. Keep them talking. It is not our time to talk. It is time for the Holy Spirit to work with them and them to talk. Just keep that conversation going. Okay, so people are there, even the atheists. So, heaven and hell? Nah, that's rubbish. But to a Hindu, there's a different version of heaven and hell. To a Buddhist, there's a different version of heaven. To a Muslim, there's a different heaven and hell. Even for Christians, a lot of Christians don't believe in hell. Okay, I want to know. I want to know where you're at. I want to know just where are you at? Because I want to, just where are you on the path? So, and the Holy Spirit's pushing you. Because a lot of Australians, to be blunt, have not even thought about this. When we go to unis, one of the most common questions we get asked by 21-year-old Aussies is, what's this New Testament thing? Is it after the Old Testament? We laugh. They've lived here 21 years and they don't even know the New Testament exists. That's common. The interesting thing that's also common is, I'll have a go at this, I'll read this. Because they never have heard of this. This is new news. It's that far different. So the heaven and hell thing, a lot of people have not thought about it. So giving the Holy Spirit a little bit of work with this person, just, haven't thought of it. I guess there's a heaven. Often they won't know anything about hell or haven't even thought about it or deny it exists. Okay, interesting. Let's move on. This is the kicker question. And okay, but this time, you're remembering what is happening here, you're having a respectful chat with somebody where they're doing 95% of the talking. Now, in normal interactions you have with people, sooner or later they are going to say, well, do you want to say something? Because they're conscious they're doing most of the talking here. But this is okay. What we're doing is giving all the power in this conversation to the person and to the Holy Spirit. So let them talk. Next question is the kicker. So, with all of that, say you died tonight, where would you go? Where would you go? Now, sometimes you'll get all kinds of answers with that. A lot of Aussie will say, oh, yeah, I hope I go to heaven. Don't judge it, just listen to it. I hope I would go to heaven. The next question to ask is, why would God let you in? Because it's God's heaven, remember? They're just thinking it's football playing heaven. It's God's heaven up there. So, but just see, sometimes you'll have the person who has adamantly said there is no heaven and hell in the previous question, you ask this, and they go, I hope I go to heaven. Don't smile. Don't say anything. You just go, uh-huh. It's just like, yeah, when it really comes to the crunch, you want to believe in heaven, don't you? But you don't say anything. Just let them talk. Because it's important we know where they're at. And it is, and it's the challenge to say, well, okay, well, where are you at? Where this is where. Now, look, remember, this conversation may not all be happening on one day. It might be something you have it might be over a number of chats. It might be that you're in a quick conversation at a bus stop and you only get to the first question. So it's not a test that you've got to get through all the questions. But gee, if the conversation's flowing nicely, what you now have is a very good idea about where their beliefs are, where Jesus sits with them, have they got a picture of heaven and hell, and where they actually think they are in their own salvation journey. You've got that much in four questions. So that's a lot to do with, and it's allowed the Holy Spirit a lot to work with that person. Really has allowed them to chime in. And the big thing is to not talk too much. Just let them talk. Let them have a chat. And I guess on that question four, don't probably say, are you going to heaven? Where would you go is a really good question, because that leaves it open to whatever faith, belief, what they think they're doing. We're not judging that you're in a Christian paradigm where heaven and hell exists. If they said no to heaven and hell, you can still ask, where would you go? That's a good question. It's a polite question. It's not a judging question about, oh, you've got to make a decision on heaven and hell. You just ask them, where would you go? The next question, I guess, is you've got to that point, and now the person is thinking. The Holy Spirit's really making them think, would be my main answer on this. That's where you can, perhaps, this is where the polite question can be. This is where you now say, can I talk, in effect? And the wording, pick how you'd like to do it. If anything you believe weren't quite true, would you want to know? Don't say probably the word wrong. Wrong sounds judgmental. Not true is a lot softer, I think. You know, it's just, if there's anything in there that wasn't quite true, would you want to know? If they say no, thanks, I'm right. The typical Aussie, I'm right. She'll be right, mate. Walk away. Maybe not physically, but you know, okay, that conversation's over, they've said no, no is no. Be polite, move on to another conversation. Start talking about the football, do whatever you do. If they've said no, no is no. If they say yes, then you have permission to go forward and start sharing more about it. And then you ask permission, well, can I share with you something then? And then you have permission to go in, but they're in the right frame of mind. If they've said no, no is no. One of the things, I guess, the guys who are much better at it than I am is their experience with that. If they do get a no and they just respect it, say, oh, that's fine, and they move on and start talking about something else. Usually within about a minute, the person goes, well, aren't you going to tell me? And you go, well, actually, you said no. So I was, you know, you did say, no, you better tell me. So they will usually ask you anyway, but it's beep. This is about not, it's being respectful. It's not shoving down their throat. It's letting them, you're letting the person have control of the conversation. And that's the most, I think it's respectful, it's polite, and it allows the Holy Spirit to move. So, would they like to share? So, I'm just going to whip through the rest, because probably that's really where I wanted to get us today.
We've talked about some of the verses, and I'll shoot through that fairly quickly now. So the key thing about if we do, they do say, yes, I'd like to know some more, use the Bible. Let God speak through his word. Don't try and talk it through yourself. If you possibly can, use the Bible. Let the Bible speak to them. Let the Holy Spirit speak through the verses. Much more powerful, much more theologically correct than I ever will be. If they're reading God's word, I'm in a safe place. I'm not going to get myself in some big theological entanglement and trip myself up. If they're reading God's word, we're in a safe place. And I think the key thing that Bill Fay would stress is that get them to actually read it out. So the verses, there's a whole lot in this, but he's even highlighted, but get them to read it themselves out loud. Because if you see, faith comes through hearing. And if they're reading it out, one, you know they're reading the right verse, which is always helpful, but they are speaking it out. They're concentrating each of those words. I'm not reading it to them, they're reading it out. Short verses. Also, again, when it comes to the crunch, and this sounds really scary, but what do you make of it? What does that say to you? Let the Holy Spirit tell them what is going on in those verses. Now you think, oh man, I'm really letting go of control now. They've just been reading the Word of God. The Word of God cuts through. It is the sword. Let them tell you. If they, I don't quite get it, read it again. We'll just have it, read it again. And you know, we've all been in places where you had your mind blown by how insightful some people can be. You know, the absolute atheist will suddenly go, I get it. Let God's word speak to them. So that's probably the main encouragement I would have with that. So they do the reading aloud, they do the talking, Holy Spirit does the convincing, and God's word does the convicting. It's all in their play. We are just there. We're available to God. So then you would normally have sort of, we do want them to respond to the challenge, but we're weak. These are the verses. This is why I'm a little awe of God at the moment, because I was really anxious about my time, which is up. And I was thinking, how am I ever going to get through all of this and talk about it all? What did Brother Prasad share for us? Romans 3:23, and expounded on it very nicely. Thank you very much. He shared from Romans 6:23 and shared with that very nicely. John 14:6 is up here. And so I think I don't need to repeat things. So essentially what we are doing, though, is when we these verses, the issue of sin. There is a penalty for sin. How to get into a relationship with Jesus. That there is a narrow door. That anybody can be saved. No matter how bad, good, religious background, whatever, anybody can be saved. We must turn from something. Though we do, can't, not just in forgiveness, we need to repent. We do need to turn from where we have been to become a follower of Jesus. And that it is a choice. Jesus is very polite. He knocks at the door. He can smash it open. But no, he doesn't. He knocks. Are you going to open? He knocks again. Are you going to open? It's their choice at this stage whether they want to make a decision or not. And that's what you're allowing them to read and them to tell you. At this stage, I haven't said a thing. I'm not interpreting for them. I want them to put it in their own words so it is very clear to them what God is saying to them. It's got nothing to do with me. So then, obviously, there is a response that we would like to make sure. And what I am going to do as we finish is I'm going to give you all one of these little testaments. A lot of the summary, a similar summary to that is actually in the back. But certainly there's a point where somebody has read those verses, they seem to be understanding. You do need to check where they're at, just that they have a clear understanding. If they're about to make a decision, we just need to know, you know, the key things that we've been trying to bring them to life in their life. Light in their life. We need to just make sure they're understanding those things. And the prayer would be nice. And there's a sample prayer in the back of these as well. So very quickly, I guess that's it. But we started back there. We have a command from our Master and Commander Jesus to do this thing. There is great joy in heaven, let alone in our own hearts, if this happens. Start with a question. I'm going to make it a little easier today. I've talked to Pastor Timothy about this. I'm going to offer you all one of these to take home with you.
And what we'd love you to do is give it to somebody this week. Now, it could be anybody. It could be a petrol station attendant. It could be a niece. It could be a granddaughter. It could be somebody at Macca's. It could be the Coles checkout person. It could be a friend or colleague. Just give one to somebody. If the opportunity opens up, ask that the first question. Do you have any beliefs? Put it in your own words. Don't have to use that word. Whatever you want. Pop one into somebody's hand. I find petrol stations very easy. Usually they're really good. Macca's, pretty good. It sounds random. I actually have been known to give them out at Macca's drive-thrus. I did this one at Macca's drive-thru and I went back 2 months later and I went to offer another one to a young lady. She said, oh no, actually my friend gave me one just like that and I'm reading it. That was Cushini. So even random things like that work. But, you know, there'll be somebody, in a week, there's going to be somebody who crosses your path. Now, the beauty of these, there's little helps in the front. There's John 3:16 in a whole bunch of languages. Even Gujarati, so Kartik, the taxi driver, could understand that a couple of weeks ago, which was kind of handy. And there's even a little salvation path, similar to what we've been discussing there. So that's the little challenge. What we'd love you to do then, just bring that name next week on Sunday. We'll put a big piece of paper here. It might not be a name. It might be BP petrol station person. Because we'd love to pray over those people, the people that you've contacted this week. Just share it with somebody, bring it back. Look, if you've had a chance to ask a question or two, brilliant. Some of you who are already very, very good at this will have probably walked 7 people to Christ during the week, and you can tell us about that. But start with a question. That's all it is. So the fear, let's just start with a question. A question is all we need to do to start this game going. And remember, as you ask that question, what's happening in heaven? There's cheering going on because the start of something has just happened that they are going to be very, very excited about. So just ask that question. So let's not be silent Christians. Let's look to see. Pray in the morning. Is there somebody, Lord, you're going to bring it to me today? Will you please do that? Because we can be active in sharing our faith so we have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. There's Peter, signed his name in the back. So that's from me. So thank you so much. Sorry I've taken a little too long. I apologise for that. But Lord, we'll have some Bibles to give you. There's some little sharing things there. And we'd love to have some names on a page, potentially, to pray over next week. Thank you so much.